Hello, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for all that support us. And we just appreciate that. Prayers, donations, whatever it is. This morning, we'll be talking about judgment. Not a popular subject among pulpits anymore, but it is one that God talks about. And without judgment, we really don't have a faith here. First verse I'm going to read is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It said, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." That's short, gets to the point, and lets us know exactly what's going on. It's appointed unto men once to die. Folks, the death rate among human beings is still 100%. It doesn't change. No matter what comes around, no matter what happens, you're going to die of something. And you may say, well, I've got a long life, but we really don't know. We don't know what life we've got. We don't know what time that God has given us in this life, so we take advantage of every single moment we have to serve Him, to be a part of Him, to be a part of His kingdom work here, you know, and I think that's an overused word, kingdom, but it is His, and this world is His. Satan is allowed to do certain things here, but understand this, it still belongs to God, and so do we. And you may say, well, all of us are part of the family of God. Well, that's not true. We're all God's creation. We're not all part of the family of God. To be part of the family of God, you have to accept the Son and be a part of that family through that way. It's through an adoption process. But Hebrews here is dealing with this, and it said it's appointed. So we know that we've got a time that we're going to die. I want you to understand this right now, that there will become a time that you will die. Throughout my ministry, I've dealt with it. Throughout my life and my family, I've dealt with it. The death rate, like I said, is 100%, and death runs in my family. That's just the way it goes, and it does yours too. So we know that we're going to die that spiritual or that scriptural death according to physical means. We know that's going to happen. The Bible tells us that. We're not getting out of that. So what do? We have to worry, or we have to concede. Now, we can sit there and we can worry and go, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Or we can concede that God has a plan, and God knows exactly what He's doing, and He will guide us. He said, but after this, the judgment. This judgment is by God Almighty. This judgment is by Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's two different ones. No, Jesus is God. Jesus is the one that sits at judgment. Jesus is the one that created everything. The Bible tells us this. He's not somebody that just came on the scene at Christmas time and all of a sudden He's here. And now we just say, oh, yeah, well, He's a good man. He's a good prophet. He's all those, but He is God. He always has been God, and He will be the one that will judge. He is righteous. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to court, but you sit there or jury duty, and you sit and you listen to judgments, and you sit in things, and you may see them on TV, and some of them you agree with, some of them you don't, because they're done by people, and we make mistakes, and sometimes people get exonerated even after a judgment has come down of guilty on them, and new evidence comes in that proves that it wasn't them. And so we have a flawed judgment system in our world because it's by people, and that's just what happens. But God's judgment is final. It is just. It is right. It always has been. It always will be. And we're being told this so that we can do something about this. Now, you can, like I said, you can just worry and say, I don't know what's going on. Or you could just say, well, I don't care. You know, I don't even believe it. But the Bible tells us this, and this Bible is God's word. Every single word in here, and it's told us there is coming a judgment. Now, you may say, well, okay, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I don't have to worry about that. There is no exceptions here, and there's nothing here that says, unless you, anywhere. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say this is the exception to the rule. I went through electrical school, and they had a book that had all the rules for electrical guidelines, and then they had exceptions. You do this, this, and this, except in this case, well, this Bible doesn't have that. This Bible doesn't say, except this, except that, you know, if you were a good person, if you were a bad person, whatever. It doesn't say that. It says it's appointed unto men. Now, again, this is mankind. This is, so women don't say, oh, well, I'm not there. You know, this is a pronoun used to talk about mankind, everyone. And we need to know that. As a child of God, you will stand before judgment. Now, I've said this throughout my ministry, and people get a little peevish about it, and they get upset out, and they don't want to hear it a lot of times, but I want to read it so that we can all understand this. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we look in verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be present from the body, absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." So when he's talking about the judgment here, he's talking about the judgment of Christians, those who have accepted Christ, those who say, "I belong to Jesus Christ and I am a follower of him." As a Christian, you're not saying that I am like Christ. That's what the word literally means, but you're trying to be. You're trying to live after Christ. You're trying to live after his life because you belong to him and you want to do what he has modeled for you. So the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but it goes on and says we labor. We keep on laboring. While we're here, we keep on working. We don't look to that and go, "Oh man, I've got that to look forward to, so I don't have to worry about that anymore." We keep on laboring for him. And then it talks about the judgment. There is a judgment of Christians. I want you to understand that. I want you to know it, for we must all appear. All. See, and I preached about those three-letter words. That's one right there. All. Doesn't mean there's an exclusion. All that have accepted Jesus Christ must appear before his seat, the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat, the judgment of Christ that he will give down in our case. So we will stand before him. Now, one of my teachers said one time that he felt like, "Hey, I'm getting out of this and it's not going to be a big deal. I'm a Christian." But then he got thinking about it when he actually read it and thought, "This is not going to be a great deal." Because what it says is everyone may receive the thing done in his body. So what are we getting judged for? We're getting judged for how we labor, how we don't labor, how we react to people, how we don't react to people, what we do in our life. Once we accept Christ, once we become part of that family, because see, then we're held accountable to that family. I've said this time and again, when I would get ready to go uptown, my dad would say, "Don't be messing our name up." I worked hard to build it up, and of course, what did I do? I try to go mess it up, not having any regard for the family, but I should have. And we all should have. We should have regard for the family of Jesus Christ, in which we belong. We should be representatives. We should be ambassadors. We should show the world exactly what it's like to be a Christian, what we should do, how we should make amends if we do mess up in those cases. But he said, we're going to receive what we've done in our body, according to which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So it's not going to just be this thing of, "Oh, everything's great. Everything's white clean." No, there are things that are going to be in our life that we're going to have to answer for. You say, "Well, we've been forgiven for them." There's always consequences. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. But folks, what about the things that we don't ask forgiveness for? Just for instance, you say, "Well, I've been cleansed of everything." Yeah. What about the things you didn't? You thought, "Well, that wasn't a big deal." Or you thought, "Maybe I'm right. I don't care." I've heard this in churches all the time. "I don't care. I'm right. I'm right." Well, what's that got to do with anything? You're not right, for one thing, but you're justifying yourself. See, a lot of people want to come to counseling and stuff to receive justification. They'll use the Bible to justify what they did. The rich young ruler did that. He was trying to justify himself and saying, "Well, yeah, Jesus, I've done all these things. Yeah, I'm cool. I've done it. I've everything you've said, that's what I've done." But he was trying to justify himself. See, he wasn't allowed Jesus to justify himself. And so we've got to know that once we accept Christ, we have a responsibility to do the right things. We have a responsibility to do what he would have us to do, not what we would have to do. Now, this is something, and it's also in Romans chapter 14. So if you say, "Oh, well, that's the only spot that it's there." No, it's also in Romans. And listen to this. "For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, comes from Isaiah. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Excuse me. So here we see again this judgment seat of Christ in two different places. Paul writes about this so that we will know this, so that we understand this. And he goes on here, he's talking about that we will receive this and every tongue will confess this. And he says, we'll give account of ourselves to God. We're going to have to give account for what we've done. Folks, I'm telling you right now, I don't look at it and go, hey, this is a cakewalk. I look at this and go, hey, I've got things in my life and I need to make right. And it talks about judging each other here in Romans. That why are we always looking over there? And see, that's easy to say, see, isn't it? That's like when you're speeding down the road and you get pulled over. And what's the first thing you say? Hey, everybody else was doing that. Why didn't you pick on them? See, we don't want to admit our guilt. We don't want to say, yeah, that was me. I need to give account for myself. Yes, officer, you caught me. It doesn't matter whether everybody else was speeding or not. You've got me. And yes, I was guilty. And I know it, you know, and I'm not going to make any excuses about it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to stand before Jesus and make excuses. Matthew chapter 7, it talks about those people that stand there and they say these things, but it didn't matter. It didn't change anything because Jesus knows. He knows exactly what we've done. The things you've done in secret will come out. That's a scary thing, isn't it? Nobody wants to get up and tell their secrets to anybody. You're not gonna have a meeting. Anybody want to stand up and tell all their deep dark secrets? Some of the things that nobody else knows about. They've never told anybody. Nobody's gonna stand up and go, yeah, man, I'd like to confess everything. No, but Jesus already knows it. We don't have to just play it out to him. He said, we're going to give account for that. What does that mean? We're going to be judged. It's going to be measured. What's it going to be measured against? The books is what Revelation talks about. And so here we have the books right here, the books of the Bible. We're going to be judged against these things. That's not a happy thing. That's not a sad thing. That's just a real thing. The judgment. It's pointing them in once to die, then the judgment. This judgment is of Jesus Christ. It's not of anybody else. It's not of your pastor. It's not of the deacons. It's not the song leader. It's not the Sunday school teacher. It's not the person that sits in the same pew every Sunday. It's not the one that tells you, well, you just need to get right. It's not anybody else. It's Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to answer to him. You're going to have to answer to Jesus. You're going to have to get before him and say, hey, Jesus, I know. And it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We're not going to get up there and go, well, Jesus, I've got a lawyer here and he's going to plead my case for me. You know, that's not the way it's going to be for Christians. We're going to answer for what we've done. Now, folks, I'm telling you right now, a lot of Christians got a lot to answer for. And I think we all do. Some are going to answer for breaking up churches. Some are going to answer for not telling people about it. Some are going to answer for being poor examples that are going to cause people not to accept Jesus Christ. There's going to be all kinds of things. But again, we don't need to be looking at other people. We need to be looking at ourselves, taking it to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, you know, I just want to bring this to you right now. I want to talk to you. I need forgiveness for it, but I need to repent because I don't want to do it again. I want to get away from it. I want to get away from it because I know what the Bible says. If you don't get anything else right now, I want you to understand the Bible's true. If you just choose to ignore it, if you choose to say, well, that's not a big deal to me. I've got other things on mind. We got baptisms and we got suppers we got to make and we got people we got to see and we got all this other stuff and we do all this stuff and I got all this. So I got that. I can't be concerned about this judgment deal. And I'm telling you right now, churches are responsible for making people so busy. Associations have got responsibility for making people so busy. They're not even thinking about this. They're just out there doing it. A lot of them are lost as they can be. They've never accepted Jesus Christ and they're lost and people are just keeping them busy so they don't ever think about this. I want you to think about it right now. How are you going to stand at judgment? Are you truly a child of God? You've got to answer that question right off the bat. You've got to answer, am I truly a child of God? Have I accepted Jesus Christ? Not that I went up forward or I told somebody or I did this or I did that, but I'm talking about truly in your heart. The Bible says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? You know that Jesus Christ is Lord and you make him Lord of your life. Not I'm going to do some things. I'm making him Lord of my life. He's going to be in charge. He's the one I'm going to go to. He's the one that I'm going to talk to. He's the one that I'm going to measure up against. I'm not measuring up against anybody else. I'm not measuring up against the church. Folks, I've seen some people get saved and come into church, and people start measuring them by what they wear, by how they look, by how they talk, by what they know or what they don't know. They instantly start measuring them. It's like, you know, this guy come in here, he ought to just, everything ought to be different, and it ought to be the way we want it. And that's the way churches work sometimes. And that's sad, because what we ought to be doing is going, they measure up to God. Let me see if I can measure up. You know, David said, search me and see if you can find anything. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be very, very careful before you say that to God, because he'll do it. He'll search you and he'll find that stuff, and then you're going to have to deal with it. It's just like going through a house, and I was explaining this some people that I've done construction work before, and we were doing some remodeling, and there was a soft spot in the floor, this lady's house, and it was immaculate. I mean, beautiful. You know, everything was in its place, and everything had a place, and it was all that kind of stuff. And we pulled this carpet back. And when we pulled this carpet back to cut the old flooring out and replace it, there was dirt underneath there. She was just appalled. I mean, it just hurt her. You know, she was like, I didn't know it was there. I didn't. And then she went about and she said, I've got to clean that. I was like, go right ahead. See, that's what God will do. He'll search in those places that we hadn't really thought about in a long time. This lady hadn't thought about under her carpet. She did after that. But we've got places in our life we haven't thought about in a long time. Search me, oh God. He's going to find those places. And then we're going to have to deal with them. We're going to have to decide it. And it's going to be embarrassing if everybody else sees it. So we need to take it to God right now. And we need to say, Lord, help me out. Help me out. You know, I need to be a part of you, and I want to follow after you. So this is the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us is children of God, that are truly children of God. Now, I'm telling you, you need to get with God. If you've got any doubts, you need to go, I need to know. I need to know. And over in John, it tells us, he said, I write these things to you that you may know that you're a child of God, that you know that you're part of that family, because there is another judgment. There's a judgment that's for those that have not accepted Christ. And it's over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. And it says this. Now this is for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Let me tell you again, there's two judgments. If you're watching, you're seeing I'm holding up two fingers. There's two judgments here. There's a judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the great white throne of judgment. This is the one you do not want to be at. For sure, this is the one that you do not want to be, because it is the one that's going to be those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things, which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, this is the judgment where the book of life is going to be opened up. This is Jesus Christ's book. I don't care how many churches you belong to, how many times you've had your name on a roll book, and so many people depend on that. They have to have their name on that roll book, you know, or they have to be associated with this church or that church and say that's, and I'm not downing that. I'm saying that's great. You know, we're supposed to worship together. We're supposed to not forsake the assembling yourselves together. We're supposed to come together and worship. But I'm telling you what, right now, your name in ink or pencil or whatever it is in a book that belongs to someone else doesn't mean anything to God. Let me say that again. Because some of you are just shocked, and some of you in my own denomination are shocked. Your name, written in ink and pencil, in any book that belongs to any church that is written by a single person or multiple persons throughout time, does not mean anything to God. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about how many there are going to be. Sometimes they burn up. I've been in that case before, and they have to restore it. And he said, well, I don't know whose names were in there anymore. And some people say, well, I don't want my name removed because I want it there, you know, or I want it in my obituary. God is not looking at that. He doesn't look at it and go, oh, isn't that special? Isn't that special that you belong to that church? No, he's wanting to know if your name's written in his book. And his book is real. His book is indisputable. You can't go to it and go, no, wait a minute. You got the date wrong. No, his book is indisputable. It says it's the great white throne. This is called the great white throne judgment. This is for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. This is for those that have never submitted to Jesus, have never submitted to him and said, look, I need a savior. I can't do this alone. I need you. I want you. I want you to accept me. I want to accept that free gift of salvation. These people didn't do that because it was appointed unto men once to die, and they died and they had not accepted it. You see, all dependent on, are you going to do this while your breath is within you? Well, you've got a heartbeat. You know, I've had people ask, you know, if you're seeking people for Jesus Christ, what's your criteria? And I've always put my hand in my throat like this and said, if they've got a pulse, if they're still alive, we're trying to reach them for Jesus Christ. We're trying to spread the message, because once their eyes close in death and they're no longer alive, then their decision has been made. You don't get to get a makeup test. You don't get to go back and go, you know, I didn't get a good grade on that one. Can I do this again? You don't get to come back and try it again. You don't get to somebody to pray you out of somewhere. This is it. Your decision is final. When you die, you have made your decision. If you don't make any decision, if you don't ever decide anything, you've already made a decision for death and hell. But Jesus didn't want that. That's the reason he died on the cross. He died a cruel death. He paid the sin debt for you and me so that we don't have to experience this right here, this great white throne. Because that's not what he wanted. The Bible tells us that he's not slack concerning his promises. Men are. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what he's about. He said, I saw a great white throne. Can you imagine John and what was being revealed to him by Jesus Christ, and what he saw, how it must have made him feel to see this happening, and just his heart break. And folks, I'm telling you right now, if you call yourself a child of God and these verses do not break your heart, if they do not cause you to go out and do something, then you are probably not a child of God. Because it should motivate you. It should get you to the point you go, wait a minute, why have I been doing all the stuff I've been doing? Is it about Jesus Christ, or is it about me? Is it about how I feel about myself, or is it about making sure that people know that Jesus died on the cross for their sin? I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. He saw this person sitting on the throne, so great that the earth couldn't even look at him. So great. Now Jesus came as a humble servant, and he came as us, and he died on the cross, but that's not who he is. He's God Almighty. And he's sitting on the throne here. Then he saw the dead. Now listen to this, verse 12. And I saw the dead, both small and great. He didn't say, I saw the all those lowlifes, all those drug addicts, all those murderers, and all those people that were of ill repute, and all those ones I didn't like. He said, I saw small and great, rich and poor, famous and unknown. I saw them all. I saw them standing before this throne. And he said, the books were open. And then he said, another book, which was the book of life. Listen, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things according to their works. Folks, this is not where you need to be, and it's not where God wants you to be. You need to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. Yes, you will stand in the judgment even if you accept Jesus Christ, but you'll be going into heaven. Because at the end of this is not where they went. You see, we're going to be judged for what we've done both in our bodies, both good and bad. We have a Savior we can take it to, a Savior who paid our sin debt, a Savior who's going to say, I did it for you, and allow us into heaven if we've accepted that free gift. But folks, we've got an obligation to live for Him. We've got an obligation to do what we're supposed to do. And I'm not talking about giving to charity. I'm not talking about going on mission trips. I'm not talking about doing all these good deeds of feeding people or any things. Those are all great things, and they're things that you can do. But if you do not do them for Jesus Christ, if you're not out there doing this for His glory, then it's wrong. The people that stood before Him that I talked about earlier in Matthew chapter 7 talked about all the great things they did in His name. In the name of Jesus, they said, we did all these things in Your name. And He never said, no, you didn't. That always grips me. Every single time I study it, every single time I think about it, I think about that. He did not say, no, you did not. He didn't say, nope, you didn't do that. And nope, you didn't do that either. He never said that. He said this to him. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. In no way did you ever belong to me. You never accepted me. You never gave yourself to me. They did all those things. And yeah, they did them in the name of Jesus. In name only. But He said, I never knew you, and then depart from me, you that work iniquity, sin. In other words, what He said is everything you did that you said you did in my name, it was sin because you didn't belong to me. That's gripping. That's gripping. We need to think about that. We need to think about that because that's these people right here. Those people that went to church every Sunday, that did every event they could do, that partook of every single ritual that the church had out there. And folks, every single church has them. We get hung up in so many things that we forget to tell folks about Jesus. That's what you need. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nothing else. We can't do it without Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sin. You can take Jesus out of it, and I don't care what you do in your church, it won't get you to heaven. You've got to have Jesus. Jesus is the linchpin here. He's the one that everything hinges upon. He is the one that does the judgment. Let's go on. It said this, the sea gave up their dead. They're all judged according to their works. And it says in verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Now I want you to remember this before I read this next part, before I emphasize this next part, I want you to understand what Hebrews talked about. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 said, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. The end of verse 14 says, this is the second death. This is the second death. Hebrews talks about that physical death. That's the first death that we're all going to experience. It says all are appointed to die. But this says this is the second death. This is the great white throne. This is the ones that did not accept Jesus Christ. This is the second death of those. It's an eternal death. Folks, you will spend an eternity somewhere. Will it be heaven or hell this morning? This afternoon? Whenever you listen to this, is it going to be heaven or hell? It doesn't matter. You've got to make a decision. You need to make this decision today. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ to come down here and reign upon this earth? Or are you going to be in hell for all eternity? You say, oh, well, I don't really believe in hell. I read a book. So did I. I just read it to you. I've read the book, and I know what it says. And I just read to you what it says, so you can't deny what it says. You've got to accept it, or you've got to reject it, and you will do so at the end of this sermon. You will do so all the time. You will do so until the judgment comes. What's your decision going to be? I hope you make a decision for Jesus Christ. Say, how do I do it? You got to know that the wages of sin is death. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you can believe on Him. That you can make Him Lord of your life and believe on Him. that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. I hope you will accept Jesus Christ today. Don't let it go by. My name is Charles Morning. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you today.